Let us turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10 and verse 9. The book of Proverbs, chapter 10 and verse 9. The proverb says, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverted his ways shall be known." Amen. Let's just meditate on these words for a moment. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. In other words, if we determine to walk in righteousness, in integrity, as honest people, because God is an honest God, if we walk in truth, because God is the truth, if we walk in righteousness, because God is righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu, then we walk surely. And what does surely mean? It means you have nothing to be afraid of. It means you're not going to be destroyed. There will be no shocking surprises for you. You basically have decided to live a good life, have a good conscience, be a good person. Amen. And this is the title of the message, The Virtue of Integrity. The Virtue of Integrity. This message is about integrity. The next part says, but he that perverted his ways shall be known. In other words, if a person rejects integrity, all that goes into the term integrity, being honest, being upright, being a good person, because we are made in the image of God. These are the values that God loves. But if a person rejects it and one wants to be corrupt, bad, etc., etc., then you will be known. What does that mean? You know, no one wants to be known to be famous for being evil. No one wants their shame to be broadcast to the whole world. But the Bible is saying, if we do not love and practice integrity, then our shame will become well known. It will be broadcast. You will get attention for scandals, for evil things, for bad things. So may the Lord help us. Amen. We don't want to be known for being people of integrity. We are not looking to be celebrities. But I assure you, no one in his or her right mind wants to be known for being perverted, for being evil. Amen. If we agree, then we can proceed with this message. Praise God. So there is a warning here in the Bible. Praise God. We live in a society today where appearances are often deceptive. Moral standards seem fluid and fleeting. In such a world, a person of integrity stands as an unwavering beacon of truth and righteousness. In other words, if the darkness around you is great and you are a little light, that little light shines like the sun in the midst of great darkness. Look around you today. Just check some of the famous newspapers in the country where you are. What do you notice? You'll find that among the headlines are headlines which focus on celebrities. Some horrible thing they're doing, but it's being celebrated. This celebrity slept with so many women. This celebrity did this. This celebrity did that. This has become normal news now. We live in a time of perversion. People of integrity are not respected. The next time you find somebody in the newspaper in the headlines who is a person of integrity, and they're there because they are such wonderful, good people, honest people, holy people, please let me know. I'll be shocked. So the Bible is telling us that virtue is extremely important. If you want to walk surely, you should walk in virtue, in uprightness. Amen. Because why is that important? You know, let's define virtue first. Virtue can refer to moral excellence or righteousness. Yeah. All that which we call morally good, which comes from God. Yeah. A person's goodness, honesty, courage, compassion, justice. All of it is part of patience, humility, tolerance. Why is this important? Because we are made in the image of God. And God is a God of virtue. All these qualities are in God. When the Bible said that Adam and Eve were naked and they did not know evil, that's because they were made in the image of God. And in the image of God, there is only virtue, honesty, holiness, righteousness. Praise God. So in a world which seems to be doing everything it can to make human beings in the image of Satan, we need to ask, what is virtue? And we need, through the help of the Holy Spirit. Why did the Holy Spirit come? The Holy Spirit came to help us to go back to what we were made to be in the image of God. Amen. Just, truthful, holy, righteous. Praise God. The Spirit of God came to help us with this. So we live in a time, as I said, where the opposite is being promoted. You could be a person who hates moral virtue and still be very famous in the world today. How is it that we admire celebrities who use dirty language, who promote things that God hates, and people love them when they speak? The person who comes, a celebrity, and says, oh, I drank so much alcohol last night that I was totally smashed. That's what they say in England. And people laugh and they clap for them. May God help us. May God help us. Whenever you listen to the world, listen again to Jesus. Listen to the words of Jesus and evaluate, assess, appraise everyone's speech in light of the words of Jesus. Amen. Otherwise, we will be partakers of their sins. We don't want to be partakers of other people's sins. So, the Bible is interested and tells us, commands us to walk in integrity. Not only should our words be words of integrity, but more so, our actions should be actions of integrity. Praise God. Our words and actions should match. The two should agree and say amen. Hallelujah. We need to be committed to truth, righteousness, moral uprightness, even when it requires a personal sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me mention a philosopher called Immanuel Kant. Immanuel Kant, who lived about 300 years ago in Germany, Prussia, he said that whenever a person decides to do something, you should ask yourself a simple question. What I'm about to do, can everybody do it? Would I be okay if everybody would do it? Can I make it into a universal law? Amen. It's called Immanuel Kant's moral categorical imperative. Basically, if you say, I'm going to, let's just take a banal, rough example. If I say, I can do this, I can kill a cat or dog or whatever, can I make it into a law and say everybody can do it? And then try it and see. So before you do something, ask if everybody could be permitted to do it. Amen? So we call it, it's a variant, a form of the golden law that Jesus came with, that the Old Testament tells us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would others will do unto you. Nobody wants anybody to beat them. So why would you beat somebody else? Can you make it into a universal law? Everybody beat everybody. What kind of a world will we be living in? So, common philosophers, I mean, normal people have told us this is wrong. There is a right way to live and there is a wrong way to live. So integrity is the bedrock upon which trust, reputation, and spiritual health are built. Look at societies that follow moral virtues and uprightness. They are societies which are good to live in. People trust each other. They trust the police. They trust the government. And societies where there is no moral virtue, no integrity, there is chaos. There's violence. There's crime. There's evil. But now I'm speaking about Christians. I'm speaking to Christians. What does the Bible say? The Bible said there is no government except the one that God gave, meaning God is the one who put leaders in place and they are supposed to reflect the laws of God. So Paul said, if we reject the laws of the country, we are going against God because the minister is God's servant. He actually called ministers. Imagine, he used a strong term. You may say, all of this is common sense, Brother Paul. No, I have met Christians who actually believe that it is okay to hate the government, to even try to cheat on the government in every way, their taxes, whatever. But let's read a few scriptures, if you will. From the book of Romans, chapter 13, from verse 1. The book of Romans, chapter 13, and from verse 1. In fact, if I could share my blue letter Bible that I use to read the scriptures so that everybody can follow. Romans 13 verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, it is obvious that Paul is speaking about normal rulers. He's not speaking about crazy dictators which are evil and capricious. How do we know that? Because look at verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, taxes. For they are God's ministers. Third time he's saying God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Amen. Can we say amen? Praise God. So next time you come through the customs check, say, oh, there's a minister of God. Next time you see a cabinet minister in the government, say, oh, there's a minister of God. This is the Bible, brothers and sisters. I don't know where some Christians got the idea that they can just do whatever they want. Lawlessness is not from God. It is part of integrity. What is good, what is honest. Let me tell you, integrity teaches us to actually respect authority. Amen. I would say this is one of the foundations of integrity. This is where Adam and Eve fell down, brothers and sisters. Amen. God said, do not eat of that tree. So God was trying to help them to practice integrity, respect the authority that is from God. Respect God's authority. You know, I've always taught young people. I always say to them, please, respect authority. If you begin with the authority of God, you will be virtuous. The Bible says Job feared God. He respected the authority of God. That is the beginning of wisdom, brothers and sisters. Amen. I should start really this teaching by talking about authority, respecting authority. Amen. So the beginning of wisdom is what? It is the fear of God. A person who fears God is a person of integrity. And it's not only Solomon who said it. It was David who taught Solomon, brothers and sisters. Look at Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111 and verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is integrity? It is every good characteristic, every good attribute. Praise God. Do you see a young person who really respects God? I assure you, this young person who's full of integrity will go very far in life. Amen. But I've seen those who do not respect authority. They do not respect God's authority, neither do they respect the authority of the government, nor of the teacher, nor of the police. And then in the end, like animals, they are put in cages called prison, and they are forced to respect the laws of the prison. Because when God gave them freedom, they did not thank God for their freedom. May I remind everybody, we are free today. We are not locked up in cages because we fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of freedom, brothers and sisters. I sometimes thank God, believe it or not. I say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm not in prison. You say, what a strange thank you. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you need to see some documentaries on Netflix about people in prison. It makes me go on my knees and say, thank you, Jesus, that you taught me to be a person of integrity and to fear you. And because of that, I began to respect the government. I respected the people who are wearing uniforms, who represent the government. And because of that, I've had no problem with the law. Amen. I once was stopped by a policeman and he was checking my papers and he told me, no, you look like a very law-abiding citizen, doing nothing wrong. Your record is perfect. And I was proud. You have nothing to fear, Paul said, if you respect the authority of God. And from there, it has a domino effect, praise God. So, because the government has our record, they know whether we practice what we preach. So, integrity. Do you want to walk surely? Do you want to walk without stumbling in this world? Do you want to sleep in peace and wake up in peace? Then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let this be the first attribute of our lives. Let us teach our children. Fear God, and then you don't need to fear anyone. Praise God. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord. Let it be the first. Amen. Integrity is rooted in the very nature of God's character. It is exemplified through Christ. What did Jesus show us? When God came in the flesh, you know what he showed us? He taught us to fear God. He himself. Why do you think he's going on his knees praying? Why is he following the law, his own law? Because he's trying to show us. This is what he expects from us, but we are not doing it. So he has to come and he has to demonstrate for us. Jesus was demonstrating to us what we should have been doing. He's praying. Why does he pray so much? Because we are not praying as we should. He taught us. Do you know, as soon as Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, do you know that Jesus did not come and do miracles after fasting 40 days and 40 nights? He taught us how to behave. Before miracles, are you listening to me? Before Jesus did any miracle, he taught us. Matthew 4, temptation. Matthew 5, teaching. After that came miracles. Ah, somebody said, oh, I didn't know that. Yes. He didn't jump straight to miracles. Because if you do a miracle, a person, the devil does miracles. But the devil is not a person of integrity. So Jesus did not do any miracle. He began to teach us. Somebody say he taught us. Because he wants us to know. It's not miracles which is important. It is the word of God. Hallelujah. It is virtue. Ah, somebody say, now I get it. Praise God. So, look at your Bible carefully, and you will see the chronology. Amen? Jesus was tempted by the devil, and then he went and he started to. What happened after Matthew 4? Look at Matthew 5, 6, 7. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Praise God. Matthew 6, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Hallelujah. So, all the way to 7, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure? He spent 3 chapters where Matthew recorded his teaching, praise God. Why? Somebody say, integrity. God doesn't want a church full of people who do miracles and are devilish in their behavior. He would rather have a church full of people of integrity with no miracles. I'm telling you. Praise God. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. What kind of ambassadors of Christ do we want to be? Do we want to become like Simon Magus? The man who wanted to pay for miracles, but his character was evil. He had no integrity. And Peter said, you are in the gall of bitterness. Hallelujah. Integrity, brothers and sisters. uprightness, brothers and sisters. Let us be people of the truth. People whom the world will look at and say, their God must be very proud of them. I wish our religion had, I was telling the story, please don't misunderstand, it's not to promote myself, but you know, it's easier to mention stories I am witness to, but we have a brother who is witness here. I went some time ago to fix the car of my son, and there was a guy, he was a Muslim mechanic from Sudan. And this man, he told me, you know what? You bought the wrong car. This engine is not good. The person you bought from, that you bought this car from, has cheated you, because there is an oil leakage, and we're not able to trace it. So it must be going somewhere in, what was it? I forget, in the system, turbo system. I said, can you fix it? No, it's going to be very expensive. My advice to you, don't tell anybody, just sell it. Don't tell them. You know what I told him? I said, my friend, I'm a Christian. I don't do that. I fear God. I don't cheat other people just because somebody cheated me. If I sell it, I will tell the people what is wrong with the car. You know, the guy was surprised. He actually just put his hand on his mouth. He was in deep thought. And then he told me, the guy you bought the car from is a Pakistani Muslim, yeah? I'm sorry to be mentioning countries' names. It's not all Pakistanis are this way. But he said, this is the problem with us Muslims. We are liars. I know not all Muslims are this way. Please don't misunderstand. But I'm just giving you an anecdote, one story. He was a Muslim and he condemned many Muslims. And he was surprised that we Christians are so honest. Now, he could have met other Christians who don't have integrity and say, okay, I will do that. I won't tell anyone. I'll lie to them. But thank God, at that moment, on that day, he met a Christian who believed in integrity. And I thank Jesus that I could bring glory to his name. Now, as I said, he could have met many Christians who are happy to lie. But I'm just sharing this example so that we will think about how we behave, brothers and sisters. I refuse to be enriched by making somebody else impoverished. Amen. How can I live with that? That I become more richer by making you poorer? What kind of Christian example? The Bible said Jesus Christ became poor for our sakes. Amen. So that we may become rich. Amen. So what example did our God show us? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Can we decide to make everybody else rich because of Jesus? If you live by this principle, you will be a person of integrity. I promise myself in my life, I will never become richer, stronger, whatever, by making someone else poorer. Never. I cannot live with it. In Jesus' name. So, we need integrity. We need to be like Jesus. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Hallelujah. We live by different standards. We are not looking. I bought a book. I don't know what I'm going to find in there, but it's a nice title. He called it The Courage to be Disliked. I said, oh, that's such books appeal to me. I assure you, I do not try to go around trying to be disliked. But I've learned long ago that I should never do anything to be liked by anyone. You are wasting your life and your time. Do what Jesus likes and forget everybody else. If people don't like what you're doing because you're doing it to Jesus, they are not worth pleasing. But if they love Jesus, they will clap. Amen. Well done. You did it to Jesus and This is the way I understand Jesus. Praise God. So let us be Jesus pleasers and not people pleasers. Let me repeat. Let us be Christ pleasers and not people pleasers. Praise Jesus. So, integrity. Say with me, integrity. Jesus helped me to be a person of integrity. Hallelujah. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3. The book of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3. It says in Proverbs 11 verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Please have a careful look at this. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Amen. If you love honesty, righteousness, holiness, all these virtues that belong to God, it will guide you. They will guide you. Hallelujah. It becomes a divine guide. It becomes an internal compass that leads to safety and divine favor. It is responsive to inward moral conviction and outward conduct. It ensures that our steps are sure and confident. Praise God. Let me remind you of a great man of integrity. His name was Job. The Bible begins the book with his name. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Wow. I wish God were to begin the book of your life and my life with these words, brothers and sisters. Say amen. God has a book about every one of us in heaven. I wish he would start by saying amen. There was a man in this or that land by the name of Victor Owusu. And that man was upright and perfect. Oh, hallelujah. I would cry the whole day if God said it about me. There was a sister called Faith. She was upright and perfect in the whole land. Brothers and sisters, this is what we should cry for. Why are we trying to please anybody else? Please the unpleasable. They are not going to write a book like this about us. Most people are jealous. They never give you compliments. God is rich in compliments. Jesus is rich in tributes. Look at how he began this book about a mere mortal man. He's not even Jewish. He's not even a Hebrew. He's from the country of Jordan. He was an Arab. And one of the greatest, most righteous men in the Bible was an Arab. And the Bible calls him Job, Eob, Ayub. And this man, God begins with a mighty compliment. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I would give anything for God to call me perfect. And upright. Oh, my goodness. And one that feared God. And eschewed evil. Four integrities, if you will. Perfect. My goodness. Case closed, Your Honor. If God calls you perfect, it's... Oh, hallelujah. The devil is wasting his time attacking this man. Devil, did you not hear what God said about him? A man who was perfect, upright. He feared God and hated evil. There are some people who hate, who love God and love evil. Or they're imperfect, and yet somehow they say we love God. No, no, no. Four powerful statements in the Bible about this man. Amen. God is showing his people. He said, put this book in the book of the Jews, because it's not only, the Bible is not only a book about Israel and Jews. It's a book about a man from Syria called Abraham. It's a book about a woman from the same country of Job called Ruth. Did you know that Moab, Jordan, today's Jordan, has given us Job and Ruth? Jordan? Yes, Jordan. God is no respecter of person. That's why I don't like it when people act like God is only the God of a certain country. I mean, God bless America and God bless whatever country you're from. But please remember that God is no respecter of persons. Wherever he finds somebody who loves him, God will pay tribute to that country. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Who knows? In God's book, there may be somebody who comes from Yemen or a country which is Iran. God forbid, even among the Taliban, there was a Taliban man who loved God and was perfect. Oh my goodness. Excuse me, Lord, did you just say Taliban? Listen, we put labels on people. God does not put labels. There was a communist who loved God and was perfect. Excuse me, Lord, communist? All are evil. The only good communist is a dead communist. That's what they used to say. We need to be careful. We don't know what kind of people are there among the Taliban, among communists, amongst Nazis. I don't know what. Don't be surprised if Jesus saved Nazis and others. I, for one, want Jesus to save everybody. We don't allow labels to deter us. Jesus loves everybody. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. So, integrity. Job was a man of integrity. He was known for his behavior. Christianity is about behavior, brothers and sisters, just as much as it is about doctrine. What did the Apostle Paul tell Timothy? In 1 Timothy 4:16, the scripture is very clear. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, the apostle told Timothy, take heed, be careful unto yourself. See, he began with himself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. In them? Yes, two things. Your behavior and your teaching. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Did you know that how you behave will also save people? So what? But Paul, this is a new doctrine. No, no, no. I just quoted the scripture to you. Paul said, take heed, be careful to two things. Yourself, that means your behavior. Two, what you are teaching. Both are part of salvation. Who is going to follow somebody who preaches day and night, God is one, be baptized in Jesus' name, and then after they finish, they go and do some horrible things all the time? That person is going to lead other people in his hypocrisy or her hypocrisy. So that behavior itself will undo the power of the preaching. It takes both to save people. You may be surprised, but this is true. Amen. Why do you think the Apostle Paul rebuked Peter? Who in his right mind will rebuke Peter? You crazy. People die when they argue with this guy called Peter. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Two people who died at the hands of Peter. Peter is not somebody to joke with. He has some serious power. But you know what power he was lacking? The power of behavior, example. He was weak there. And the Apostle Paul had both. So he was courageous enough to rebuke him and say, why are you playing the hypocrite? Because with this behavior, you are affecting Barnabas. You see? That's why Paul has the authority to tell Timothy, don't be play the hypocrite. Take care with your behavior and the doctrine. Amen? And Peter kept quiet because he has no moral authority. He lost his integrity. God have mercy. And I love Peter. We love Peter. But you cannot play the hypocrite. especially when it comes to people with other cultures and languages. And that's why I take it very seriously. When I see people being discriminated, I can't be quiet. There is a spirit of Paul that rises up in me also and says, excuse me, why are you treating people like this? Do you think that salvation is only through your culture and your language? No. The same God who was with Paul is with me. And I'm telling you, stop this hypocrisy. Love every people, love every language. Treat people equally in Jesus' name. This is very important. Never accept somebody discriminating. Never in Jesus' name. Jesus died for every language, every culture. We need to fight for every person's integrity, dignity in Jesus' name. People are racist only if you allow them to be racists. Say to them, tell the Goliath of racism, who do you think you are? In Jesus' name. There must be a cause. We will not submit to you. We will not serve you. We will not become servants to you. No, we serve only Jesus. Amen. Please, it's very important. Let the spirit of the Apostle Paul live in us. Don't tolerate when you see somebody being bullied, somebody being exposed to discrimination and or sexism, when they treat women in a bad way. Don't accept it in Jesus' name. When they are racist or sexist or xenophobic, they hate foreigners, stand up in Jesus' name and say, excuse me, this is not how we learn Jesus. Peter, I don't know what you're doing in Galilee for 3 years. I don't argue that Jesus gave you the keys, but I know right from wrong. I know right from wrong. But I am Peter. I saw Jesus on the mountain, blah, 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 blah. Excuse me. Amen. We're not arguing about that. You may be the great, great, great servant of God, but I am simple enough to know when you're being a hypocrite. And I am telling you, this is not correct behavior. In fact, I expect better from Peter. I expect better from a great man of God or a great woman of God. Stop this hypocrisy, because you will cause other people to fall into sin. That's what happened with Barnabas. Barnabas is a good man. He doesn't discriminate. He came to find me, Paul, when I was alone. Nobody trusted me. But look what you are doing to Barnabas, Peter. I beg you, let us be people of integrity. Amen. What is the use to follow everybody and you lose your integrity? You know, Somali people have a saying. They say, a lion dies one time, but a coward dies many, many, many times. It's better to be a lion. The lion dies one time. So we need to respect integrity. It's better to stand and be courageous, because you have to live with your conscience. You have to answer to your conscience. If your conscience, when you're alone, says to you, coward, you are a coward. How do you live with it? But when you go to the crowd, they're clapping. Oh, no, no, no. May God help us to be courageous. Praise God. Integrity is also courageous. Somebody say courageous. David had integrity when he met Goliath. He said, it's better I die today like a lion than I die every day listening to this man. 40 days he's speaking like this. These people died 40 times. Israel already died every day. Imagine every day they get up. Goliath is abusing them. You cowards. You spineless people. Your God is nothing. Where is the God you said who took you out of Egypt? Miracles can. What? Nonsense. Where is your God? Every day they were dying. When David came to them, he came to their 40th funeral. Funeral number 40 he came to. God have mercy. Sometimes you need to die 40 times before God raises us up from the dead. 40 times. 40 days. God have mercy. I'm speaking about integrity, brothers and sisters. Christians are known by their integrity. Look at 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 16 says, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. That means, brothers and sisters, 80 times every morning, every evening, 80 times 40 days, he was abusing them. So I should say they died 80 times. They would listen to him and they act like nothing happened. They would keep eating their food. What kind of cowards are these? They go in their tent, they put on their swords, they put on their helmet, playing soldiers. Soldiers who are killed by words. No. In Jesus' name. The church should be filled with people of integrity. People, courage is part of integrity. Is our God a coward? Never. Our God? No. He's a God of courage. He always told his people, fear not. Say, fear not. So, to not fear is part of being in the image of God. I'm speaking about virtue today, integrity. How many times did Jesus, he rebuked the apostles, weak of faith, in the water, in the Sea of Galilee. He said, rebuke the waves, and he looked at them. Oh, ye of little faith. In other words, what kind of cowards am I with? May God help us. I believe it's a Christian virtue to be courageous. Amen. God will give us grace. I'm not speaking just nice words to you. You know my background. I'm speaking to you as somebody who had to have courage from God in order to continue almost 40 years as a Christian. I stopped counting how many times I was threatened with death, especially in the early days. But you know what? By the grace of God, God put a courage in me, put the spirit of David. So I would always tell my people when they would boast and threaten me, I would always look them in the eye and say, whenever you're ready to put your words into action and kill me, go ahead. You think I'm afraid of you? No, I'm not afraid of you. So till today, that's my attitude. And then they stopped threatening me. They said, he's crazy. You know why? Because the cowards are exposed once the lion stands up. Amen. So when they were threatened with death, I would say, why don't you just do what you're saying if you are so brave? And they would look at me and say, this guy's crazy. No. You are crazy threatening me with death because I just said I saw Jesus and he's full of love. Why does that threaten you? What crime have I committed? I'm just a 15-year-old boy that you're trying to bully. Mind your own business, all of you bullies. Slap them like the lion, slap them like the bear. I'm not saying physically, but, you know, the lion and the bear were only as strong as when they put fear in somebody. But what happens when you don't have fear? Then the tables are turned. And then you realize, the lion says, how come? Normally everybody runs away. This guy, this must not be a boy that I'm facing. This must be something else. So, may God give us courage. I'm speaking to someone. Christianity, don't misunderstand. When Jesus said, turn the other cheek, what he's trying to say is, you see, if you are called to suffer for him, accept the suffering. Turn the other cheek. But he's not saying that we should be cowards now and just be cowering. No. Remember Stephen. Remember Peter. Remember Paul. Even both of them died in courageous ways. Praise God. We have a proud tradition, brothers and sisters. Amen. There are many martyrs. They used to say the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Praise God. In the days of Tertullian. So, may God give us courage, because it's a very important virtue. The devil was trying to put fear into Job. into David. He attacked his children. He attacked everything. Curse God, curse God. No, in Jesus' name. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know what you don't know. I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the end, he will stand upon the earth. I shall see him for myself and not another. Though in my flesh worms destroy this flesh, in my eyes I shall see God. Hallelujah. Are you courageous? Do you have this vision? Amen. For we know that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. This is how Christian virtue is. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. See how they speak, the people of courage. Amen. Paul is certain. No angels, no demons, no. He goes on and on and on. Nothing in all creation. Are you sure? I'm sure. That is his integrity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So nothing in all of creation will separate us. Praise God. Romans 8, 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody say amen. Are you a Christian of virtue? Remember the Hebrew children? Is there anyone more courageous than these people? They are captives. They are in a foreign land. Everybody else is worshiping King Nebuchadnezzar. The fire has been made seven times hotter. That's enough to break anybody and to scream and to become coward. But look at how these people are so full of courage. Virtue, hallelujah. O King, long live the King. Amen. Listen to us, King. Praise God. I mean, they were preaching to the King. Hallelujah. They were not afraid of the fiery furnace. They're afraid of God more than the fiery furnace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Tell me if this is not courage or not. Please listen to what I'm saying. Christians are courageous people. We don't fear anybody. I'm not just saying it. If I feared anybody, I would not continue to be a Christian 40 years later. God had to deliver me from the fear of human beings. I love every human being. I respect all. But I fear none, because when you see the Lord high and lifted up, human beings disappear in the glory of Jesus. Now, the devil wants to make the fire huge and big so you don't see the glory of Jesus. But the three Hebrew children saw the glory of God bigger than the fiery furnace. Praise God. In other words, O King, please, this is just firecrackers. Don't try to frighten us. Don't try to frighten us with a matchstick flame. It's not funny. Our God is this, a consuming fire. And you are trying to light a small matchstick and think we're afraid of it? No. Let it be known unto you, O King. We will never serve your gods. Make it clear. Write that down in your law. Virtue. Praise God. From after that day, everybody in Babylon respected the virtue, the courage, the integrity of the Hebrew children. People must have been afraid to go near them. Amen. This is the honor they brought to their God. We saw with our own eyes. These are fearless people. These may not be human beings even. Their God is dangerous. He came down in the fire with them. Nebuchadnezzar was humiliated. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. What a great God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adores him. Hallelujah. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. I hope you sing these songs with true, with belief, with conviction. Praise God. It's a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. If you show courage, amen. What did he say? The eyes of the Lord move to and fro the earth to show himself strong. On behalf of who? Of those whose hearts are perfect. Perfect means strong. Hallelujah. Praise God. The eyes of the Lord. What are they doing? What is he beholding? What is he looking for? They move to and fro the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong. God is not looking at the circuses of this world. He's not looking at Hollywood or Bollywood or whatever. He is looking for one thing. Amen. To see those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Somebody say hearts that are perfect. That means virtue, integrity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. May the eyes of the Lord find you. Amen. May the eyes of the Lord stop. That's why he said, I have found. That means my eyes were going to and fro the whole earth. And guess what? My eyes found David, the son of Jesse. Oh, wow. Praise God. You know, when you are courageous, even a guy called Jesse, I don't know what he did, by the way, but his name became famous. All he did was to be the father of David. We don't know what he did. In fact, the one thing he did, which we all know, is he did not invite David to come for the anointing. So actually, the one thing we know he did it wrong. But his son is a man of integrity, so he put his father on the spiritual map forever. The son of Jesse. A root out of Jesse. A branch out of Jesse. What? Who is this Jesse? Why is he famous? He did nothing. You know, when you're a person of integrity, you bring honor to your family. Your family may even be your father may even be a coward, but he becomes honored. I'm sure if you meet Jesse, wow, I'm going to struggle to talk to him about what he did. Jesse, you did not invite David, but I can't talk about that. What can I talk to you about? Jesse, you are the father of David. Praise God. That's all he got on of. If we are cowards, may God give us a Jesse. May God give us a David. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Praise God. May we give birth to a David. Praise God. So who will bring honor to the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 We never met Jonah in the New Testament. We met him in the Old Testament. I'm speaking about Simon Bar-Jonah. I don't know who he was, what he did. But I know he's a famous man because he gave birth to Kepha, who became the hero of the New Testament, the number one disciple of Jesus. Jonah, Bar-Jonah. When I meet you, I don't know what I'm going to talk to you about, but I'll definitely compliment you on giving birth to Kepha. Praise God. See how integrity works? It affects everybody around you. It touches so many people. Praise God. It affects people. Integrity will bring honor to your family. Honor to your people. Praise God. In Jesus' name. May God give us integrity. Pray for integrity. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. David, even when he sinned, God did not throw him away because he realized he lost his integrity. He coveted another man's wife and he killed her. All of that destroyed his integrity. So what did he do? Run away, become corrupt like King Saul? No. He said in Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. See, renew, because he had integrity. And now he lost it. And he said, Lord, renew a right spirit. Give me back my integrity. Praise you. Were you once a person of integrity? Hallelujah. The Bible says it's a good name. It's to be coveted, isn't it? Praise God. What do you want in life? Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. A good name. Amen. Please seek a good name. Whatever it may cost you. Even if you're wrong, say that's what I believe. But now I realize I'm wrong. But I followed the conviction of my heart. Amen. I believe this, so I did this. Why do something you don't believe in? Because of fear? God have mercy. A good name. Say a good name. Seek a good name. Listen, at the end of the day, I have to live with my conscience, which God speaks through. Amen. If God tells me you're okay, I'm okay. Even if the world wants to kill me and they're burning down my house, if Jesus says to my conscience, you're okay, that's what I have to live with. But imagine I do something evil and the world claps for me and tomorrow I cannot sleep. And then I start taking medicines and then alcohol and drugs and then I die because who will save you from your conscience through which God speaks? I'd rather have a good conscience and sleep well at night. Amen. Then a good name is better. Say a good name is better in Jesus. Praise God. So may God give you integrity, a good name, a virtue. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because if you lose it, it's difficult to get it back. And David knew it. That's why he said, oh Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Renew in me a right spirit, oh God. The spirit that I had before. The spirit that I came with to Jerusalem, to King Saul. The spirit with which I came to fight Goliath. Praise God. Amen. God is righteous, brothers and sisters. There is no corruption in him. Even Abraham told him, shall not the judge of the whole world earth do right? Amen. I know you, God. You're a righteous God. You will not allow the good to suffer with the evil. No, that's not far from you. This is not how you are. You see, Abraham knew God. Abraham is a friend of God. Hallelujah. He knows the character of God. Because some of that character is in Father Abraham. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, the Bible says, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Amen. Our God is a God of truth. In him there is no sin. He's just, he's right. Never lose that belief. Never doubt God's integrity. The devil will do everything for you to doubt the integrity of God. Don't go there in Jesus' name. No, never. I believe my God is holy. I believe he's righteous. Amen. I cannot believe anything else. Praise God. His integrity assures us that we can trust him completely. His plans are perfect. His promises everlasting. How do I know? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Who is more morally upright than Jesus? See what happens when the Holy Ghost enters into you and I. See how it makes us. How it changes us. I am so blessed because when I saw Jesus in 1986, when I woke up, I knew I will never be the same person again. I knew. I had not read the Bible. I didn't know what's in the Bible. I was told that it's a book which is corrupted. Stay away from the Bible and Christianity. But I didn't even know. Well, you know, Muslims call it Injil. That's all I heard. Injil. Injil is Arabic for the evangelical or the evangelical books. So I said, Injil, what's that book? Stay away from the Injil. But I'll tell you what. Before I read the Injil was already working in me. Explain that. I could not speak one dirty word since that day, till today. 40 years, no dirty words come out of my mouth. I'm telling you, it happened automatically. Explain that to me. The first miracle that happened in my life was a moral miracle. I used to use dirty words every day. It was normal in the boarding school. We grew up with dirty words. Explain to me. This is one of the first reasons I realized Christianity is real. It's not just the words. It has power. It's working in me. My goodness. I can't. Even my friend said, what happened to you? You don't speak like before. I told a friend in the end, I can't speak one dirty words. This Jesus is doing something to me. This Jesus is around. He's working in me. I couldn't explain it. I remember once even telling Jesus in there, Jesus, what do you want from me? I saw you. What happens now? Praise God. I didn't know how to pray. Hallelujah. Nobody taught me Christianity. Jesus taught me Christianity. Jesus taught me what is correct, what is wrong. Amen. He started to lead. He started to influence my mouth. Praise God. I didn't know that it says in the Bible, if you call your somebody raka, fool, you are in danger of hellfire. Bless and curse not. I didn't know it's in the Bible. But the Bible knows that I need the Bible. I didn't know the Bible, but the Bible knows me. I didn't read the scriptures, but the scriptures were beginning to speak through me. I started to help people I don't know. I never did such thing. I believed in an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, without knowing the Bible. That's how I interpreted Islam. But now I became gentle. I was full of love. And I didn't understand why I'm doing it. I was angry with myself. Excuse me. What are you doing? You know, I used to go outside the school to worship, to talk to Jesus afterwards. And then I saw some very thirsty travelers. They were almost fainting. They said, oh, and I'm 2-3 kilometers outside the school. When I saw them, I said, wait, wait here. I'll go and get you water. I was a thin 15-year-old who couldn't carry much, no muscles. I ran to the school. I got 2 buckets filled with water. I was panting, sweating. I almost collapsed when I came to them. The water, most of it was had already fallen out. They were shocked. They looked at me like I'm an angel. And now when they were thanking me, kissing me even, and I was saying, my goodness, what happened to me? What is going on with me? I'm telling you the truth about my life. So when I'm speaking about God being the God of moral integrity, you better believe it. The God of the Bible is a good God. I have evidence. I have seen it in my own life. He's a holy God. He's an upright God. Hallelujah. He changes you. Whether you want to be changed or not, he will change you to become like him. And you will be a better person, a good person, an upright, perfect person. Don't become corrupt in Jesus' name. Don't become a liar in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid of people in the name of Jesus. Be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why I love Christianity. I love Jesus. People who only talk against Jesus, I won't tell them, excuse me, you don't know what I have experienced. So you talk is cheap. But if you were to walk in my footsteps, Jesus was real in my life. And he is still real. He makes me do things I don't want to do. But I know it's him. Because he always makes me humble. Always makes me love people. Always makes me forgive. Always makes me bless people. This is Jesus. There is no other Jesus. He cannot. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise God. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. People must meet Jesus. It's good to know your pastor, shake hands. It doesn't make you like Jesus. Meet Jesus, get to know Jesus. Know him for yourself. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know. Hallelujah. Only those who know Jesus will say, amen, preach it. This is the correct Jesus. Not the Jesus who wants revenge, who is arrogant. We don't know this Jesus. He doesn't exist in the Bible. Praise God. Say, a God of virtue, a God of integrity. Praise God. Amen. What does the Bible say about him? What does he say? Let him who knows me say what? Boast in what? He who boasts, what should you boast in? That you know God? In what way? What way? That he is a miracle worker? No. Our God is saying, if you boast, boast in this, that you know him. That he is a God of mercy. Praise God. Hallelujah. What else do we boast in? All the goodness of God. Hallelujah. That we know him to be a God of mercy. Praise God. A God of goodness. Amen. Praise God. Amen. May we know in what way to boast in our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you noticed that he's asking us to boast in his virtue? Say in his virtue, in his integrity. This makes God proud. Amen. If you boast about anything else, it's not wrong. He's a God of greatness, of course, in all of this. He's a God of power, of course. He's a God of many. But when we boast, it's really amazing. It tells you what kind of God we are talking about, what kind of God that we are serving. Praise God. Jeremiah 9:24. Let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Amen. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Ooh, come on. I thought he boasts in dividing the Red Sea. I thought he boasts in raising the dead. No, he's saying, if you want to glory in God, boast in God, boast in these things. He's a God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Say to be loving, to be just, to be righteous. Say virtue, integrity. Hallelujah. May God make us people of integrity. Hallelujah. May God help us to understand his character. Because his character is his essence. Amen. These are the attributes of God. This is God in action. This is the essence of God. Amen. To talk about God and to go against these virtues is a crime. It's a crime in Jesus' name. Let us follow this pattern. I want to conclude with, you know, before I come to the story of Joseph, which needs no introduction. But who is a man of more integrity than Joseph and Daniel? But we have time for just Joseph. See, Socrates, the great philosopher, he once famously said, the unexamined life is not worth living. A life that is not examined is not worth living. So he used to go around asking people, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Yes. What do you mean by truth? People say, of course, we know what is truth. Really? I don't know. Can you explain to me? So he would examine everything. He wants to arrive at the core, the center, the source of everything. And that's why they killed him in there. Because they said this guy basically is the number one annoyance to the country. He's the number one source of irritation. People don't like people who ask questions. But we need to. Joseph was a man who actually asked a question to Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39, 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Wow, what a question in Egypt. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? There's no answer to such a question. Okay, there is no answer. Integrity will shut every mouth because it's clear what the answer is. Hallelujah. So, there is the character of God. Amen. And God made a command. Thou shalt not commit adultery. For Joseph, this law applies everywhere in the world. Even the people who haven't heard of the God of Abraham. He believed God said, I change not. He must have heard it from his father Jacob. Jacob heard from Isaac. Isaac heard from Abraham. Thank God for holy people of God who teach their children the word of God. Some children listen, some children don't. Our job is to teach them and to show them. Amen. Don't be afraid to correct your children. Tell them this is sin. God will judge you if you do this. I'm telling you. I've never hesitated. I've always told my children. The Bible says this. What you're doing is against the Bible. God will not leave you. He will not hold you innocent. You are openly rebelling against his word. Beware. It is a terrible thing to fall into that. Don't be afraid of anybody, society. Be only afraid of God. Hallelujah. So Joseph asked a question. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Hallelujah. That is it. This is integrity. And nobody's watching. You're in Egypt. Nobody's going to record it. Do you think that Joseph only lived for God when he is with his father and his brothers? He lived for God always. Brothers or no brothers? May I ask challenge some of you who don't live with the church. You're alone somewhere. Don't think that you have your own rules. That you can do what you want. You know it's not correct. Jesus is the God of every city and village in this world. Wherever you are, he's watching you. Praise God. There is no other rules for you. And there is no other rules for us. Amen. Say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wherever you may be, Jesus is God over there. Fear him, love him, worship him, run away from evil and seek good. Don't hurt other people. Don't touch other people's property or their wives or husbands, or it's all a great sin in the eyes of God. God is watching. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Keep your hands clean. Keep your eyes clean. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you watching on TV or screens? The eye is the window of the soul, the Bible says. Especially men, please be careful, men. Jesus did not tell women, he told men, if you sin with your eyes, amen. If a man will lust after a woman, you see? Why is he telling men? Men are made a bit different than women in this area. David had six wives in the palace behind him. But he saw one woman naked and he wants to sleep with her. This is men. So men, you have to fight this nature. You have to bring it under the submission of Jesus. You have to fight it. Reject it in Jesus' name. You have to teach your eyes how to behave. So the eye is the window of the soul, especially men. If you are careless and you see whatever you want, Most people who watch pornography are men. Be very careful. Whether they did research in Israel or France or USA, the result is the same. 80-90% are men. If it's not for the men, the pornography industry will collapse. So, men, especially men, be careful with your eyes. What are you watching on the screens? Now the devil is giving us small screens that we can watch. So before the men would go, I'm speaking very openly. Please don't be offended. I tell you the truth. First, we have to diagnose the problem. The problem is serious for men. Men would in the old days go to get the pornography, what do they call this, magazine. They can even see till today, and you go to petrol station. I've always wondered, why are they just displaying it openly? What kind of nonsense is this? They know the temptation of the men, and that's why they... So afterwards, they put it in the internet. And now they put it on a smartphone. This is why I'm not in favor of young, especially boys, going to bed with their mobile phone. If you can take it away, please take it away. Don't trust them. Listen carefully. I'm still speaking about integrity, am I not? Because we are speaking about being righteous, being upright in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So this is all important teaching. We will one day, God willing, I'll make a deeper teaching for the men. Because you need to first understand your character. The women are different. The women, the girls, they want, they'll, if a man will knows how to speak to them, will give them attention, their time, that is what turns them on. And they will say, this person is so kind, he loves me, he takes time for me, etc. And then they fall in love and sometimes get cheated. So while the men may be only interested to just use their body and throw them away. So where can we find a man like Joseph? Where can we find a person of uprightness? We need to pray and train our children with the help of God. Challenge them to be people of integrity. Because the best thing Jacob did for Joseph is he put integrity into him. And then it doesn't matter when the devil came to steal Joseph. Doesn't matter where he takes Joseph. Joseph has been trained in the school of integrity with Jacob. Wherever he goes, that integrity will save him in Jesus. No Potiphar's wife can cheat him. Nobody can cheat him. Because he's only saying, how can I commit this great sin against my God? It's nothing to do with you people. Don't be offended, Egyptians. Don't be offended, Moabites. It's to do with my relationship with God, with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This is integrity. It begins with, what does Jesus expect me to do? What kind of person am I supposed to be? A good name is to be chosen, praise God. Jesus said, which of you convinces me of sin? You know, nobody in the world ever asked such a question. Only God can. Only he is perfect. Which of you convinces me of sin? Everybody thought long and hard. Bring all the people from Nazareth who lived with him 30 years. Nobody could convict him of one sin, convince him of one sin. God has perfect integrity. God is perfect. He has no sin in him. You can trust him. Always trust him. Praise God. He is a pure God. Hallelujah. So we know the story of Joseph. Joseph could not be corrupted in a foreign country. Is your child going to studies in another country? Is your child going to work in another country? One day they will. Maybe not another country, your same country, but they will go somewhere else. Is there enough of the integrity of the God of Jacob in your child that wherever they go, Canada is a big country. Mr. Alim, when your children go somewhere else in Canada, may the integrity of Jesus be in them. May the integrity of the God of Jacob be in them. Somebody's child, Brother Shebber's child is in Switzerland, and they grow up and leave the house. May the integrity of the God of Brother Shebber be in his children. It will keep them safe. Sister Patience, when your children go, like Isaiah is here, praise God. May the integrity of the God of Sister Patience be in Isaiah. I could say the same for everybody here. Praise God. Wherever you are, may the integrity, you say, there's nobody with me here. Well, you are a city on a hill. You are the light of that place. The only opportunity they have to see Jesus is in you. Be a person of integrity. Hallelujah. Sister Miriam's children may travel all over the Netherlands or they may go abroad. May the integrity of the God of Sister Miriam be in her children and never leave them wherever they go. Praise God. May the integrity of our Father Jesus be in all of us, wherever we go. Jesus bless you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this message. It is easier to preach about integrity than to practice it. So help us, Jesus. This is about your name. It is about your character, your attributes. We say we are Christian, but do you say that we are Christian? Do you say that we are Christ-like? I hope so, Lord Jesus. Help us. We come to you today after such a message, a challenging message. We have not talked about doctrine today, but we have talked about virtue, integrity. Jesus, make us like you. Help us to appreciate what you appreciate, to hate what you hate. Help us to glory in this, that we know you are God who exercises loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment upon the earth. God of mercy, a God of integrity. Give us the courage you gave the Hebrew children, the courage you gave Daniel and Joseph, the courage that you gave the Apostle Paul and many others, the courage that you gave Stephen, who while the stones, heavy boulders were raining down on him, he was still able to see you and glorify you. His last words were, hold not the sin against him, Lord Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, help us to honor you, to be people of integrity, that the world will look at us and say they are the children of Jesus. They are different. Help us to bring honor to you, ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. I bless you today with all my heart, mind, and soul. I give you the glory, Jesus, a wonderful God, a pure God, a righteous God, a perfect God. Hallelujah. I pray for everyone here, for our children, for their children. Jesus, let the character of Joseph be imprinted in each and every one of our children in Jesus' name. Let them love you. Let them fear you. Let them know you. All of this we lay before your feet, Jesus. And we will not leave you. We will cling to the hem of your garment until you answer us, Jesus. Hear from heaven. Bless our children. Bless the church. Bless everyone who loves the name of Jesus. We give you the praise. We give you the honor today. All this we pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And the church says, amen. Jesus bless you abundantly.